This is the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo, episode 42.
One of the things I always say now and what I subscribe to then, right? Small actions, small results. Medium actions, medium results. Massive action, massive results.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Hey, my friend, this is Alex Pardo. I want to welcome you back to another Flip Empire show. I'm excited about this masterclass because I actually have Mark Scourin on the line. And Mark is actually somebody, you know, it's crazy how time flies, but this was probably back 2011 or so. Mark had had seen one of my YouTube videos, got on my email list and reached out to me, and him and I kind of connected. I got an opportunity to find out, you know, what some of his goals were. And I think Mark, first of all, I just want to make sure you can hear me and that you're on fine.
I am here, Alex. Yes. Thanks for having me, man.
Awesome, buddy. Yeah, man, I'm looking forward to this call. So yeah, as I was saying, I know that back in 2011, when you reached out to me, you know, you were in the insurance business and, you know, you had a desire and you were very ambitious in terms of you wanted to get into real estate. You wanted to start wholesaling, making money. And you and I actually started working together in kind of a coach-student relationship. And, you know, I want you to kind of, number one, tell us a little bit about your background, how you and I kind of connected. I know that you, when we started working together back, this was probably, 5 years ago or so, you know, talk about how you went from doing that first deal while we were working together, and then how your business has progressed and developed since 2011. And then, you know, let us know where you're at now in your business.
Yeah, sure. Thanks. When you mentioned that, Alex, it has been a couple of years now.
It's been a while,
So yeah, I think it's, yeah, right? 2011, 2012. So yeah, I mean, I think I watched one of your YouTube videos at the time. We got introduced, got on your email list. We talked a couple of times, and then, so I was in the insurance business at the time. I was just doing sales. Just kind of always had that itch, right? Just like probably a lot of people listening or are on the phone, that, you know, just the itch to get into real estate. You know, that's where true wealth is created and whatnot. So so I took the plunge. You know, I think at that time, information wasn't as like readily available. I think now, really, I mean, everyone needs a mentor, but you can go online and Google pretty much everything that you need. You know, it was still available then, but just not as like what it is now, where everything is just out there and free, for better or for worse. But so yeah, we connected. We started the mentoring process. It helped out a lot because I literally didn't know what I was doing. But for me starting out, it was just, you know, just a novice. What I did is ordered 1,000 bandit signs. One of the things I always say now and what I subscribe to then, right? Small actions, small results. Medium actions, medium results. Massive action, massive results.
Bam,
right?
Love it.
So yeah, I mean, that's true to this day. So at that time, we started the program. I got the ins and outs of the wholesaling, and I said, you know what, I'm going to order 1,000 bandit signs. So that's literally what I did. Ordered 1,000. They came in on a Thursday night, Friday, all week, and I was putting them up myself, right? I was writing on them with a marker, putting them up everywhere, littered them all over. So then just started hitting the phones, right, just as a novice, trying to understand what to do, what to say. Learned, through the trenches, but finally got a deal. That was actually my first deal that I did was from a bandit sign. Mm-hmm. Although, since I put so many up, I got two like city violations. Like, apparently the number I was using, I thought it was untraceable, but it wasn't. So that's obvious right now, but make sure you use an untraceable number. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so what, do you recall deal, what you were putting up on those bandit signs?
Yeah. So these were, I tested a bunch of things. At that time, it was just, I wanted to get the message out. So we buy houses cash, XXX, you know, the phone number. Okay. Or Marion and I will buy our house cash, XXX, just trying to test different things. Got it. Just use the white chloroplast signs with a black marker.
Yep, exactly. So let me ask you this, from the moment you ordered the 1,000 bandit signs to the moment you actually closed on your first deal, how long did that process take?
So the first close, it was probably 30 days.
Look at that. And people say you can't do deals, especially from, and you know what's funny is that, you know, for us in our business here locally, we've had more experience, a better experience with bandit signs to pull cash buyers. But that just goes to show you that, you know, to your point, Mark, that if you take If you take massive action, you know, you're going to see massive results. And, you know, here you are, you're coming from the insurance business. You didn't know anything about real estate. You decided to hire a mentor. You ordered 1,000 bandit signs. That's the one thing you focused on. 30 days later, you got your first deal. And even if it wasn't 30, even if it would have taken you 60 or 90, how much did you end up netting on that first deal?
That was a 5K profit.
Awesome. Awesome. So talk to us a little bit about where, you know, fill in the gaps from that moment that you closed your first deal, you know, over the course of the last 4 or 5 years. How has your business grown and you know, where is it at right now?
Sure, sure. So yeah, I closed that first deal and then I realized, wow, this is, you know, possible, right? I'm not going to say it was easy. It's simple, right? It's simple, but it wasn't easy. You know, to get to that first deal was a lot of steps. I had to help out the seller, like with a moving estate sale, you know. I definitely extended myself and helped her find another place, her next place, because her husband died. She was a widow, so I was just trying to help her do what I can. But yeah, that took a lot of time. But still, I realized that it, you know, hey, this business works. So for then, it was just rinse and repeat, right? So I started adding in direct mail. You know, I was still the lone wolf then for a good year and a half, really. Just, you know, it's still, I mean, to this day, it's still a learning process, right? Mm-hmm. But so, I mean, at that time, I was just still learning, right? So I was doing everything on my own, handling seller calls, buyer calls, putting up the signs, meeting investors, private lenders. So, you know, you kind of get burnt out. It's good to, you know, you're riding that adrenaline rush for a while because you see the money and you're like, wow, this is pretty cool. This does work, right? But so after a while, like probably 2 years, and so I was still going back between insurance and this, right? So I really didn't go full time until a couple of years ago.
Okay.
And then I just really got rid of the insurance business. I said, you know what? I'm gonna go 100% into the real estate stuff. So that was a couple of years after then. And so for then, I just realized, hey, I got to make this easier on me. So hired an, you know, an assistant to do paperwork, admin tasks, that kind of stuff. Hired a VA for other admin tasks, right? Like pulling up lists, you know, that kind of stuff that you really don't want to do for direct mail. So yeah, I mean, to this day, you know, I mean, at that time it was, I don't know, 1-2 deals a month. So now I've ramped up. We do about 6 to 12 a month, depends on the month.
That's awesome, dude. That's, and then, you're in the Chicago market, right?
Chicago area. Yep.
Okay. Got it. Let me actually rewind for a second because I think it would be valuable for you to kind of share your experience. There's, you know, there's people out there that are in a full-time job and they want to make the jump into real estate full-time. And I have my opinion as to when I think somebody should do that. But what was the... what was kind of the guiding factor for you, I guess is the way that I'll phrase it, that finally, you know, you started in 2011, you had closed some deals, but like you said, you didn't make the transition out of your insurance business until about 2014. What was it that happened around that time that gave you the confidence to jump from your insurance business into real estate full time?
Yeah. So I think, you know, and this is a good point because it's different for everyone, but like focus, right? So focus is huge. It's key. And for me, it was like, all right, so I'm focusing, you know, half of my time on this and then half of my time on this. And so the results maybe just weren't what they should be. They were still good because I can still apply myself. But, you know, I took a step back and I thought, okay, if I go 100% into which way, which is the best way to go? You know, and I chose real estate because there's just so many more avenues of opportunity. Insurance world was changing with, you know, regulation and all this kind of stuff. So, so for me, I decide, and it's really all focus, right? So for me, the deciding point was like, hey, I got to go 100% into this. I'll get way better results, laser focused, than kind of, you know, spread apart here and there.
Yeah, and you know
and
what's funny?
Your question went, you know, because you're asking, I know a lot of people might be listening, hey, I got this 9-to-5, you know, I got a family, when can I do this? And I think, honestly, initially, there's you got to put your time in, right? There's no like, yeah, just do, you know, 20 minutes a day and you're going to build this empire. That's not true. You know, when you're starting out, I mean, the first couple of years, you're going to have to do like whatever it takes, right? So if you've got a 9-to-5, a wife, kids, I mean, whatever it is, right? You really got to fragment your time. Like, hey, no matter what, 2 hours a day, and then, you know, 6 hours on Saturday and Sunday, I'm going to devote to real estate, or however that looks for you, right? However that works for your schedule, but you got to do it every day, you know?
Yeah. No, and I was just going to kind of piggyback on what you're saying, because number one, to your point that you just mentioned, there's a sacrifice. It's got to get done. There's no way around it. And it's challenging for a lot of people, because especially the 9-to-5ers or the people that are working a full-time job, you know, they have other responsibilities, family, and you know, usually people are tired and then they don't want to put in that time. But it's, you're never going to transition out of your full-time unless you make the sacrifices. Like you just said, man, putting in a few hours at night, putting in, you know, 6 to 8 hours on weekends. You have to make that sacrifice so that you can bridge the gap and ultimately make that jump. And what I was going to say, Mark, was that it's funny, man, because we've had some great masterclass interviews already. And one of the main themes between all of the masterclass calls is focus. You know, that everybody has said, if you just laser focus in on one thing, you kind of, you know, to a certain degree, you put blinders on and you avoid the shiny object syndrome. That's going to help get you to where you want to go, opposed to if you start dabbling in some different areas and diluting your efforts. So I appreciate you sharing that, man, because it seems to be a common thread between all these masterclass interviews. And it's because it's true. You know, you have to have that laser focus.
Oh, it's so true. And let me add to that too. So, you know, I'm in another mastermind group too. We got a couple of investors across the country. And so that same topic comes up, you know, and we'll say, guys, just, you know, my mentor will say, Mark, just everyone focus. He's like, I realize when I make the most money, I'm the most bored in my business, in the sense of I'm just doing, you know, I'm dribbling the ball like a basketball game, right?
Yeah.
98% of the game is boring. You're dribbling. And then there's a three-pointer, slam dunk, you know? So just do the basics day in and day out, but just keep doing those basics.
That's right.
You know, so that's really the key. You know, a shiny object syndrome, I think it hits all of us, especially A-type entrepreneurs, where you're thinking, oh my God, I could do this. I could do commercial.
It does.
So many other options. There's online, right? And yeah, he said, I make the most money when I'm the most bored, in the sense of I just dial in laser focused.
Yeah, no, that's great feedback, man. I appreciate you sharing that. So yeah, dude, let's fast forward to now. So you said you guys on average are doing between 6 and 12 deals a month. What types of deals are you doing? Talk to us about your marketing. What's working for you that anybody listening in right now can go ahead and you know, swipe and implement in their business?
Yeah, so I think like for now, I mean, the point we're making is like initially you got to put your time in, right? So you know the buyers, the sellers, and you know the process. Once you get that and you start, once you're dangerous enough where you're familiar with the process and you're closing deals, Alex, as you and I both know, that's when the business gets fun, you know? So it's still challenging, but when you know like what to do in the situation and you know you've got a back-end buyer, that's when the business gets fun. So like that's the point you're trying to get to. And, you know, so that's not going to happen overnight. So, you know, a couple of years into it, that's when it started changing for me. Really, the point for me was, you know, I started out and so I tried to get every property that I could under contract, right? Whether it was in the hood, whether it wasn't in the hood, I just didn't care. I was like, you know what? I'm going to get everything under contract.
Yeah.
And looking back, it's so foolish because I would literally get them in the hood and then, you know, go to Aria, call buyers from Craigslist, just, you know, put up signs for buyers. And I would try to like shove these properties down their throat, you know, and they would tell me like, hey, I'm looking for, you know, 3-1 in the suburbs. And I'd be like, no, man, I got this 3-2 in the hood though, you know, and I would just try to shove it down their throat. You know, it's so foolish, but like, so that was the breaking point for me is like, all right, so I got these 10 properties in the hood. I can't sell them. I'm trying to find buyers in the hood, but you know, there's still buyers in the hood, but maybe not as many and maybe not as trustworthy. But even then I said, you know what? I started thinking for every house in America, think about it, whether it's in the hood, whether it's on a busy street, whether it's, you know, an awkward looking home, there's still a buyer. Every single property in America has sold before, right? So there's a buyer for every property.
That's right.
So for me, that was the red light. I said, let me go the other way and let me nurture and grow and build this buyer's list so I know what they want and they're mobilized and ready to buy. And then that way I'd basically just go shopping for them, you know? So now inventory comes in, I feel way more confident that, hey, you know, I know buyer A is going to pay for this in this area,
yeah.
You know? So for me, that's the breaking point, you know?
Dude, let me jump in, man, because it's the difference between what we just talked about in terms of being laser focused and, you know, rifle marketing versus your shotgun marketing, where you're just kind of casting a wide net and seeing what comes in. I love the concept of reverse wholesaling, you know, where there's something to be said for he who has the not only the most cash buyers, not I should say not necessarily the most cash buyers, but he who has cash buyers that are actually closing. Those are the people that are winning, right? Because even if you don't have your own deals, you can go out and cold wholesale with people that do have deals. And I love the idea of kind of, you know, being a shopper for these buyers. And to the degree that you can understand exactly what people are looking for, now you can turn around and, you know, focus your marketing efforts on those exact areas where you know you have buyers. It's so much better to take, you know, I talk to people, Mark, and people will tell me, well, I only have a $500 or $1,000 a month marketing budget, you know, and what they're trying to do is they're trying to hit the entire county. And I said, no. You need to be even more laser focused with a smaller budget you have. Go out, find out where the hot activity is, you know, where are people buying properties? Pull your buyers, find out where they're looking for properties. And you need to be figuring out what are those 5, 10, 15 zip codes and subdivisions, and focus all of your marketing efforts, not only for buyers, but also for sellers. So that, like you said, you know, you gain so much confidence when you know you have buyers waiting in the wings in a particular area, and you go ahead and you pick up that property, and now you're just bringing them exactly what they're looking for. I mean, it sounds simple and it's common sense, but so many people do the reverse. And I think, again, you know, when you started out, I think you were guilty of that, right? You were saying how most of your buyers were looking for 3-2s in the suburbs, and here you are bringing them 2-1s in the hood, you know?
Yeah. And I think, so looking back, I don't think it was necessarily a bad thing in the sense that I was building rapport with the buyers, because even if they said no, then I would say, hey man, that's cool, I understand. You know, but what specific area? You know, oh well, I really need it in Schaumburg or Arlington Heights, you know, some suburbs here in Chicago. But I said, that's cool, you know, I don't have anything right now. But another good thing is you got to be active, you got to be busy. So even though I called them, let's say 3-4 times with deals that didn't work, they knew me, they started to know me. I started to become, you know, omnipresent, you know, because I was just hammered all day, right? Calling buyers, wheeling and dealing, hey man, you know, I got this deal. Nope, you don't want it? All right, cool, I'll try to find you another one. Mm-hmm. Eventually I would though, you know, so, and then eventually they see on their phone, oh my God, this guy keeps calling me, let me see what he's got. Yeah. You know, so you just got to get out there. I mean, I think initially efforts, right? You were mentioning a $500 marketing budget, which is cool, right? That's pretty much what I started, probably even less. Mm-hmm. But so like Mark Cuban always says, listen, you can't control, you know, how much, when you're starting out, how much money you have, but you can control your energy. That's your right. Energy and your effort, right? So really, like, initially, you just got to outwork everyone. Maybe, like, initially and even after, but, like, just outwork everyone, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's a key point.
Yeah. So, Matt, of these 6 to 12 deals that you're doing now, you know, you've come a long way from... And I think you're right, man. I think when we first started working together, I think you may have had like $300 marketing budget, and you used that and you bought some bandit signs, and then, you know, you got the snowball rolling, so to speak. So these 6 to 12 deals, man, what kind of marketing are you doing to get deals, or are you primarily focusing on buyers and doing a lot of cold wholesaling deals? Like, what's the makeup of these 6 to 12 that you guys are averaging every month?
Yeah, so it's still a little bit of both. I still work on the buyer's list, right? I mean, obviously, every day you work on it. I think, you know, initially, I mean, literally, I was probably, I don't know, it's a sickening amount, 200, 250 calls. I mean, what, like, from sun up to sundown, I was just calling buyers with, like, an hour of calling sellers. But, so I built up that list really good. So now I got a good grip on, like, all areas of Chicago where buyers buy, right? And I know the buyers pretty well here, so... So it kind of switched to me from, I joke about it, right? Instead of focusing on the buyers, now focus on the sellers. But, you know, I always did. Mm-hmm. So the key really for me, like where we get our deal flow is direct mail. Still send out a lot of direct mail. Okay. Divorce, probate, absentee owners, tax lates, code violation. We'll hit all those up here in the area.
Okay. How do you get those lists?
Those still work. So we've got... Well, we use a couple different sources. There's a, like a local one here in Chicago. It's public record, but it basically shows, so it breaks everything down, probate, divorce, tax lates for like all the major counties here in Illinois.
Okay. So you're getting most of your list, you're actually getting it from the public records, the court system there.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Okay. Got it. I just wasn't sure if you were using
a couple different
resources.
I think. What's that? Oh, yeah. I mean, I know there's a couple of them, right, with the absentee programs. There's a couple out there. And then there's usually a local one. So, you know, starting up, maybe you want to go to the courthouse just to see how, you know, how you can write down the info. That's not something you want to, that's not the highest and best use of your time eventually, right? Going to the courthouse every week, every day. So ask them, or ask, the best thing to do really is just find like a, you know, good, legit wholesalers in your market. Ask them, hey man, where are you getting your list from? I mean, they'll work with you. They'll tell you like, hey man, I got this public source here, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So exactly. That's good. That's a key tip right there. So if you're just starting out and, you know, you got a question, hey, what title company should I use? Where do I get this list from? Just find a, like a good wholesaler or a good rehabber that's closing deals in your market and ask him like, hey man, I'm starting out, or, you know, or I'm not starting out. I just, hey man, you got any good resources on this, this, and this? They'll help you out. Use this attorney. He's really good. Use this title company. They're good. Use this list source. So leverage their, you know, knowledge.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and that's especially key when you're getting started out. You know, I mean, you gotta network and surround yourself with like-minded people and people that are doing and are accomplishing more than what you're currently doing. And that's exactly right. You know, there's a saying that says closed mouths don't get fed, you know, and if ask around, yeah, you know, network with these people and you're eventually gonna start to build your team, your dream team, people that you're going to be working with. And you're going to start to figure out what are the best places to get your certain list, or, you know, you're going to start to figure out what works and what doesn't but again, you got to take action, right? Not only do you have to ask, but then you have to go actually, get that information and put it to work in your business.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then to answer the first part of your question. So yeah, I mean, for us, deal breakdown, I mean, we'll do a lot of direct mail. We'll do like, Google ads. We'll get seller online leads there. And then co-wholesale deals, we'll do a lot of that, right, with other wholesalers in the market. So the good thing there is, like, once you start closing co-wholesale deals with proven wholesalers, so like now, you know, I don't know what it is, but now everyone comes out of the woodwork and everyone's an investor, everyone's a wholesaler. And so you got to be careful too, because you'll waste your time if you choose, you know, if someone sends you a property, it looks like a good property, but they might not have it in a contract, or they just don't know what they're doing. You'll waste a lot of time. So I think the key point is find like a group of, whether it's one, two, a handful of wholesalers that you know are good, they know what they're doing, and partner with them on co-wholesale deals, because once you start closing those deals, it's just easier. There's a familiarity with each other, you know, because the mistake I made was, you know, I would just blast these out to everyone. Wholesalers would, you know, would hit me up on an email or phone and say, hey man, I got this great deal. I would look at it, say, yeah man, I got someone for that, and then come to find out they don't have it under contract, or just, you know, just wasting time or other issues. So yeah, make sure you find like legit good wholesalers that know what they're doing, right? Know the market.
Dude, that's such a great point, man. And I remember about, you know, maybe about 8 months ago, we brought on board a sales manager, and his main role, aside from obviously, you know, marketing and selling our properties, is to build relationships with some of the top wholesalers in our market and co-wholesaling. And what we've realized over the last 6 months or so is that the 80-20 rule, you know, we really only want to focus on 20% of the actual wholesalers out there that are going to bring us not only good deals, but deals that actually control. Because when I first brought him on board, that was a mistake that, you know, that I didn't, that he was making, that it was my fault for not stressing that, is that, look, when wholesalers send us emails, you don't want to just grab it and market it out. You know, number one, we're very choosy and selective with whose deals we market, because the majority of the deals we market are our properties. But whenever we do it, like you said, man, you have to make sure that these wholesalers control the deal, because then what ends up happening is that you get involved in this daisy chain and you end up spinning your wheels and wasting a lot of time for something that's probably not going to develop into anything. So I'm glad you said that.
Which is tragic, because it's a big time waster. Yeah, and I think like for people, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
No, at all. Go ahead.
But like if you're starting out, right, because so you did it, I did it too, right? Because you just get excited. You see a deal and you're like, oh man, I got someone for this. Let me market this. You know, I'm trying to be proactive. I'm taking massive action. But that can waste a lot of your time. So it's a key point, man.
Yeah, for sure. So man, let's start to kind of wind down the call here. What are some action items? What can people do to start actually building, to get to the point that you've gotten to where, you know, you started out with a $300 marketing budget in 2011, you know, you started closing some deals, you transitioned from your full-time insurance business into real estate full-time in 2014. Now you've scaled to the point where you guys are doing 6 to 12 deals a month or so. What can people do to really dominate their market from a cash buyer perspective? Because I know that's an area that you really excel in. What are some different things that people can be doing to constantly build their buyers list on a daily basis. And then I want to find out, you know, how can people reach out to you and find out more about what you have and what's going on in your business?
Yeah, so I think that's a great point. I think you just got to determine what level of involvement you want, right? If you're trying to make this a full-time thing, you got to ask yourself the question like, all right, do I want every buyer in this marketplace to know me? Yes. You know, so that's one of the things I joke about, like with my friends in the mastermind. We're like, hey man, if there's a buyer in Chicago and he doesn't know me, that's my fault. You know, Grant Cardone says that thing too, right? Hey man, yeah. You know, if you're a buyer in this market and you don't know me, man, I'm sorry. It's my fault. And I know everyone doesn't know me, but like, I try to make it a point, right, with our team every day. Hey, we're going to try to connect with every buyer in the market. So really, I think the key point to take away from this is, I mean, you could shave off, you know, like a year of learning just by going where the buyers are, right? The biggest mistake I think I made is, well, I'm going to believe that this wholesaler has this deal. I'm going to believe that this buyer off Craigslist has cash. You know, so that took a big learning process. It takes a lot of time qualifying buyers. So like for me, what I realized after a while, there's four pillars of what I do as far as finding the cash buyers, right? And it's all about getting to the source, right? So we always joke about like, hey man, if you're trying to get a hot blonde, where do you go, right? You go where the hot blonde hangs out or where the hot blondes hang out, right? Don't go where they don't hang out. Find out where they hang out and go there. And it sounds like simple, stupid, but same thing with buyers, right? So if you're trying to get direct to the source, maybe don't believe someone on Craigslist or online or whatever it is, right? Go straight to the source. So really, I mean, the key point for me is courthouse buyers, skip tracing legit cash buyers that have bought with cash in the last 90 days, landlords, and investor-friendly realtors. So those are like my four pillars. So that's why I've got students of my own, and that's what we work with, exploding their buyers list. And so that's what I propose is, hey, reduce your time qualifying buyers. You know, when you have a conversation, make sure they're already a legit buyer instead of calling 10 people off Craigslist, wasting 3 hours, and maybe one of them will be a real buyer. Yeah. You know, so go straight to the source, build rapport, build that relationship with what they're buying, and, I mean, your life will be a lot easier.
Yeah,
that's when
the
business gets fun, right? We always talk about that. That's when the business gets fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm telling you, it's true, man. It's great when you know you have a property or you have access to a property if you're going to call wholesale and you can just pick up the phone, send a quick text message, and you know that you can get this thing sold. And you know, there's certain areas here in Miami where, you know, whenever I see a property pop up in that zip code, I immediately think of three or four buyers that I'm like, let me send this over to it. And I'm pretty sure that I'm going to move it to one of these guys. And there's a power in that, you know, there's power in knowing exactly what your buyers are looking for.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So anyone listening, that's the point you want to get to, guys. Cause that's right, Alex. I mean, that's when the business gets fun. I mean, just a quick example. One time, I was out, I don't know, in Jersey, just vacationing or just relaxing. And I go through my Facebook feed to see some investors. And one of the guys that I co-sale with posts a property. And I said, oh my God, I got a guy for this. One of my buyers, I know him well. All he does is buy in this area. Call him up real quick. Yep, I want it. And literally within 3 minutes, we put a deal together and made $6,000. You see, like, how powerful. So I joked. I said, hey, I made $6,000 browsing Facebook in 5 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
But that's when the business gets fun, right? That's the point you want to get to.
I love it, dude. I love it. Cool, buddy. Well, yeah, man. Where can we reach out to you?
Yeah, so you can find me on my blog. I got a blog on www.focusonbuyers.com, F-O-C-U-S on B-U-Y-E-R-S.com, focusonbuyers.com. Got blog posts, and then I got like a mini mastermind too, where that's what we focus on, right? Is exploding that buyer's list in the shortest amount of time.
Awesome, buddy. Awesome. Well, hey, man, listen, I'm really proud of you, man. Before we wrap up here, I know, you know, from the moment you reached out to me from that YouTube video in 2011 to where you are now, it's awesome, man. It's so rewarding to just kind of see how much you've grown and developed your business. So I really want to commend you, dude, for taking action. And I think that's the biggest thing that sticks out at me from, you know, our time here, the last 25, 30 minutes or so, is just, you've never been gun shy to just take something, implement it right away and learn from it, you know, and there's going to be mistakes and failures along the way. And that's normal. And that's what you want, because that's where the good stuff comes out of is learning. Right. And then, making tweaks and moving forward. So yeah, buddy, I want to tip my hat to you for just taking massive action and making it happen, dude. That's awesome. And appreciate you, you kind of sharing your story with us here. And hopefully if you're listening in, you know, I always say speed of implementation is going to be critical to your success. Try to figure out one or two things that Mark and I shared with you here today and implement it right away. And then that's when you're going to kind of see the fruits of your labor, so to speak. So yeah, buddy, I don't know if you have any kind of parting words here, but, other than that, man, I want to thank everybody for listening in.
No, that's it, Alex. Appreciate it for laying the groundwork for me too. So I'm definitely appreciative and thanks again.
Awesome, man. Well, you and I know we'll stay in contact, and I look forward to catching you on another Flip Empire show.
Awesome. See ya.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.